We'll call the meeting of the Election Subcommittee of the State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee to order. Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. I want to start with the meeting minutes of Tuesday, November 20th, 2007. Senator Marty moves approval of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. We will begin this evening's hearing with Senate File 2534. Senator Kubley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. You know, Senate File 2534 is a bill that's very similar to a number of bills that you've no doubt heard before, and my understanding is that you'll be hearing again on the same issue for another county here in a few minutes. But this one comes from one of my seven counties, from Yellow Medicine County, and they are requesting a change from election to appointment for the county recorder and the county auditor treasurer. And Mr. Brian Croce, the county administrator, is with me, and I'd like to turn it over to him, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Croce. Please state your name for the record, please.
Ryan Croce, Yellow Medicine County Administrator. And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, on behalf of the Yellow Medicine County Board, I'd like to express the board's interest in making the county's county recorder and county auditor treasurer positions appointed positions with this legislation. As Senator Kubley stated, several counties have already sought this legislation and have had it approved, over 20 counties, I believe, in the state. The process being requested requires extensive public notice, public hearings, and also gives the option of a reverse referendum by the public through petition if the public does not support this process. So there's plenty of public participation that would be allowed with this process. The county board's intention is not to replace the existing elected officials. In fact, our current auditor treasurer position is currently vacant. Our auditor-treasurer retired last summer, and so we have an interim person in that position, so the timing is right to move forward with an appointment, and it's the board's intention by making these positions appointed by the board to ensure that qualified individuals are in these positions or are able to retain current officials that are in those positions in the future. The responsibility and knowledge of these positions has greatly increased over the years, and the board feels that by making them appointed, we can assure that we have the best individuals in these positions. I guess I would be willing to take any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Crush. Other questions? Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, maybe this is a question for Senate Counsel, because I think the witness pointed out that like 20 counties have done this. Do you know if any of them have ever exercised the reverse referendum?
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, I do not know.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kubley, I've asked this before, I think, for some of these other ones. What would you think about making this statewide? Because any county could decide to do this when they wanted to. Otherwise, every time we do it, we have your county executives come out here, which is an effort for people, and I don't think we ever have any real discussion or debate over it, and it happens every time, one county at a time. They don't have to do it until they have a vacancy or they're ready to do it. And Senator Sharon's doing the same thing in a minute.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Marty. We actually did try that a couple of years ago, and it went down in flames, so I'm not sure that that effort would be successful at this point, but you know, I think that makes as much sense as doing each one on a county-by-county basis, but it seems to be the only option that we have available at the moment. From my perspective as a rural legislator, I guess it makes particularly good sense for counties where the number of citizens who live there is shrinking more every year. It allows them to consolidate government services without really losing any of the services that were offered prior by a larger number of personnel.
Senator Rest.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, I concur with Senator Kubley and appreciate Senator Marty's question. One would think that we could establish this as a statewide prerogative for each county, but we ran into a lot of flack. I don't even know who carried the bill, but we ran into a lot of flack on it. Maybe if we get to the point where it's 86 out of 87 counties that we finally could come to a statewide approach. But until then, we are going to get, I think, a lot of flack from those counties that really like the notion that they are electing these people and they are accountable to the voters directly. And that was the primary objection. And I know there's a reverse referendum requirement. It would be that statewide, too. But until then, I don't think we want to burden any single county's bill with a statewide provision. And if you want to try a statewide bill, you go right ahead.
Well, Senator Rest and Senator Marty, I think, too, that we I won't remember the all the details, but it seems to me last session during our election subcommittee, we had a northern Minnesota county where there was vigorous debate. Someone had traveled down and had opposed the bill and actually, I think, stayed and testified for more than the bill for their county. And, you know, it was a the bill's passed, but it was a healthy debate and I think made us all realize that there's more to it than possibly just covering the whole state with that. Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, this reminds me of the time we were going to authorize townships to have their elections moved to November, and the townships fought so hard about giving themselves the authority to set when their election dates were that we had to restrict it to only in the metro counties could they have the authority because they didn't want us to give them the authority, which I thought was kind of the opposite of the local control they're always arguing for. But I vaguely remember it having been shot down before, and I won't try and burdening either the Yellow Medicine or the Nicollet County bills with that. But I think I'd carry a bill like that because I don't mind trying again. But I, being a metro area legislator, it's probably not as good. But I won't add it to one of these bills. But I'd be willing to do it, and if one of these county folks from rural Minnesota would be interested, I'd love to see us try, because it's not that big of a deal, but every time it's, with one or two exceptions, every time they have the county executives come here, take a day off to do that, and there's, we spend everybody's time, and we don't, this is about the longest debate we ever seem to have.
Senator Rest.
So that being said, I would move that Senate File 2534 be recommended to pass and referred to the full committee.
Senator Rest moves that Senate File 2534 be recommended to pass and be referred to the full committee. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we take the vote, I just wanted to say I apologize. I missed the testimony on it. But I just wanted to offer up something here. I know we get these requests all the time, but I'll just say that I am troubled as we dissolve elected positions for appointed ones, you know. And so I am troubled with that. I've started to pay more attention to this, and I've started to vote no on them on the floor. It's overwhelmingly, you know, the other side. But I've started to vote no. My county went this direction a number of years ago, and I felt a little uneasy about it. I don't even remember how I voted on that one, actually. I might have voted against. And
you need to look it up before you talk again.
I need to look that one up. Yes, I'll need to look that one up. But I know that Senator Ortman had one last year that I know I voted against. Anyway, that's just my opinion. I think we're doing away with more of these, and I'm not real comfortable with that. How do we know that the citizens of Yellow Medicine County want to give up their right to vote? Because I know this is probably coming forth from the county board, I assume. So, yep. I mean, how do we know that the citizens, there's no referendum requirement to abolish the electoral process here for these, right?
Reverse referendum.
Well, there's a reverse referendum. I don't, but there's nothing, I mean, has it been polled? Do we know that the citizens, how do we know that this is Senator Marty might have something.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, the only comment I'd make is that it's just a philosophical disagreement. I think when there's a position that has any policy-making authority, we should have it be elected. But when there's simply auditor type of work, you just want somebody who's going to be fair and honest and efficient and accurate. And I guess I don't think there's anything political about that or where there's anything to be gained by an election for that. I think anytime there's a policy choice is being made, then it's appropriate for it. But again, you just philosophically disagree. I'm not arguing that there aren't people like you who feel that way. I'm just saying that the vast majority of people...
I've not invested an enormous amount of thought or consternation in this. But there's a case to abolish the electoral role of the state auditor. And we did this treasurer, the auditor. Pretty soon we're going to get down to very few elected positions. So anyway, but
before we expand, Senator Ress.
I renew my motion.
Senator Ress renews her motion that Senate File 2534 be recommended to pass and move to the full committee. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
Nothing personal.
Thank you, Mr. Sharon, members.
Thank you, members.
You too, Chris.
Nothing personal.
Senator Sharon, start with Senate File 2472.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I have 25 people testifying for and 25 against this bill.
Wonderful. You have 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
This is Senate File 2472, and as was already described by Senator Kubli, this is essentially the same language as the bill that you've just heard. I would just note for your information the difference is that it's speaking only about the auditor treasurer. There are three offices. They were talking about in the former bill. It did come to me, the request came from me, from the county board. Senator Gerlach, as you indicated, requested this. But the standard is high, and they intend to honor it, and that is that 80% of the commissioners have to support this. There is a public notice process, public hearing process, and an opportunity for people, 10% of the electorate, to come forward and ask for a referendum within a certain time period. And if that occurs, then that's what happens. So those standards, I think, assure people that the public still has a great deal of opportunity to have input into this process in the local community. So with that, I will say that it's essentially the same bill that you just heard, with the exception of who it is referring to.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Sharon, the county recorder in Nicollet County is an appointed position already, or is it still elected?
I think it wouldn't be here if it wasn't an elected position. I'm assuming it's an elected position. The person that was holding this position...
No. You mentioned that your bill doesn't refer to a county recorder like
no,
the
it does.
Medicine one. And I was just wondering, in Nicollet County, is the county recorder elected or appointed? Just a question of information.
Thank you.
Senator Sharon.
Thank you for that clarification. I cannot answer that question and be certain of accuracy about that. I do know that the person who is in this particular position is no longer in the position. It's a vacant position, and that's typically when these things come forward in terms of not wanting to release somebody from
an existing position. Mr. Chairman and Senator Sharon, maybe
you would just
let us know when the bill is in the full committee, because somebody else might be curious as well, since these bills probably will be heard together.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, since we already debated the issue and I don't have any new issues to raise, I'll move the bill.
Senator Marty moves that Senate File 2472 be recommended to pass and be moved to the full committee. Is there any discussion? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on the bill? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Bill's passed.
Thank you, Chairman Larson. I just would like to mention that Joe Matthews from the Association of Counties was here to answer any questions, should there have been any.
Sure. Thank you. Senator Sharon, Senate File 208.
Thank you very much, Chairman Larson. Senate File 208 is an absentee ballot. It's the A11 amendment, and in order to... move things along as effectively as possible. I would just draw your attention. You have in front of you a letter from MyThor. I'd like you to read through that. She is from the Minnesota Disability Law Center and would be available to answer questions should you have any, but otherwise she has presented you with some information in writing. And I'm going to turn this over to Beth Frazier, who's from the Attorney General's office, to talk about the bill, what the essence of the bill is, and answer your questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
I think just to make sure that people understand, this bill had passed out of here and was drawn back in. It went to the State Finance, Government Finance Committee, because there was a fiscal impact. But the Secretary of State's office can do both this bill and another one, I think, that was also withdrawn and coming back here with current HAPA funds, and only the policy is needs to be dealt with because there's no
That's
fiscal
great.
Impact.
That's correct.
All that extra cash floating around.
Well, they can do it with their HAPA funds.
Thank you, Senator Ress. So, with your permission, Chairman Larson, we all have Beth Frazier talk with you about the bill.
Yeah, Senator Sharon and Ms. Frazier, are you going to walk through the A11 amendment? Is that how you're going to proceed?
Yes, sir, I can do that.
Why don't you do that, and then we'll take action.
Great. My name is Beth Frazier. I'm the Director of Governmental Affairs for the Secretary of State's office. And the A11 amendment cuts out many sections of the bill, leaving just two sections, both of which have to do with agent delivery of ballots, which is a situation in which absentee ballots can actually be delivered to certain categories of voters during the short period of time before the election. In the past, it was limited just to patients in healthcare facilities. A couple years ago, it was expanded to include people in residential programs and in battered women shelters. And this bill expands it further to those who have incapacitating health issues, who are disabled, or who are in assisted living facilities. The one other change that this bill makes is it changes the period of time during which agent delivery is available from 4 days before the election to 7. This is one of several bills that our office has worked on with the governor's office, and this bill, this amendment reflects an agreement between our offices. They have no objections to this language as it stands. There's one further change, I'm sorry I didn't mention, on lines 2.5 and 2.6. The new language requires that an agent has a pre-existing relationship with the voter. So the voter would have to certify, I have a pre-existing relationship with the agent.
And Ms. Frazier or Mr. Watson, do we have any definition of, is that going to become the point of contention in the future of what a pre-existing relationship is? Can you give us some advice there?
Mr. Chairman, it's not a term of art.
Thank you, Mr. Watson.
It doesn't need to be defined.
Okay. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that A11. Adopt the A11 amendment. I move the amendment, A11 amendment.
Senator Rest moves the SCS 0208 A11 amendment. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman.
The A11 amendment is adopted. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move the bill, but I also appreciate the effort of both the governor's office and the Secretary of State's office in reviewing these bills and coming forward with improvements in the law that can get the support of the governor's office and the legislature and the Secretary of State's office. So I applaud their efforts. And that being said, I move that Senate File 208, as amended, be recommended, pass, and referred to the full committee.
I second Senator Rest's thanking of the folks involved in this, because it's not been a small task to get a consensus. And with that, Senator Rest renews her motion that Senate File 208 be recommended to pass and referred
as
to
amended.
The, as amended and passed to the full committee. All those in favor, is there any further discussion? Anyone that wishes to testify?
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Frazier.
Thank you. I just wanted to note that actually in this case, all of the sections that had a fiscal impact have been removed. So there is no fiscal impact even that our office would have to absorb for this bill.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Bill is passed. Senator Rest.
No, Gerlach, sir.
Senator Gerlach, sure. That's fine. I'm sorry, Senator Gerlach. Senate File 2552.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's great to be up here doing a bill with Beth Frazier. Working on so many elections things here. But this bill is very common sense, and Ms. Frazier can certainly answer any questions on details, but the bottom line is there's a whole lot of voter registration cards out there, about a million of them that are in circulation in all of our counties and all across the state. And with all of the changes with HAVA, there's some discussion about some changes and disclaimers and things that may need to be on those, but we want to use up our existing supply. And so this is just a very simple bill to allow us to use up the voter registration applications that are in existence before we start printing up some new ones.
Senator Gerlach and Ms. Frazier, do you have an estimate about how long it'll take to use up the current supply?
Mr. Chair, I do not have an estimate. The reason that this is an issue is that last year the legislature passed a bill saying that Social Security numbers were private data, whether provided in whole or in part, which we were supportive of because since the Help America Vote Act passed, Minnesotans have had to put either their driver's license number or the last four digits of their Social Security number on the voter registration card, and we think that should be private data. But what has happened is that some people now argue, well, then you need a Tennyson warning if you're collecting private data. And we're working with IPAB, the Department of Administration, on how to accommodate that on future applications. But, you know, as Senator Gerlach said, we have a million applications out there. We are also working on revising the election rules, and the proposed rules also deal with the issue. The rules would say that throughout the end of this year, these cards can be used as is. And in terms of local governments or the state government handing the cards out, they could only thereafter be used on election days when a notice, this sort of notice, could be provided in the polling place. So if an organization has these cards and continues to hand them out, they would still be acceptable if you passed this bill, and there would be no question about whether they were acceptable. But with a million cards, I'm not sure how long it would take. You know, some of the local jurisdictions will probably continue to use them for many years because they have them on hand. Others are interested in a newly designed card and may switch immediately. So.
Okay. Senator Gerlach moves that Senate File 2552 be recommended to pass and referred to the full committee. Is there any further discussion? Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senate File 2552 is passed. Senator Rest. Now, Senator Rest.
Senator Rest, full committee.
Senate File 2553. Members, you should find an A1 amendment in your packet.
Mr. Chairman, I want to talk about the bill first before we do that.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and members, under current law, there is conducted a post-election audit, a selective audit of ballots to make sure that the voting machines are accurate and the optical scanners accurately read the ballots. And it was instituted in 2006 and covers the elections of either the governor or the president, U.S. Senate races, and members of Congress. And the audit has four phases. each county and the first phase audits the ballots for up to four precincts, depending on how big they are, and it has to be done within 2 days after the board meeting. The second phase then starts into how big, if there is a discrepancy found in the first phase of greater than 0.5%, the county has to audit additional precincts, and that has to be done within 2 days after the end of the first phase. If there are still errors that are found that are greater than 0.5% in the second phase, then they have to audit all of the remaining precincts. And under current law, that is to be completed within 6 weeks after the general election. And then for phase four, if there's still an error, there is conducted a true recount of that race in that of all of the precincts in either a congressional district or the state. In the 2006 election, no county had errors that moved them into the third or fourth phase, so we did not have recounts in in those races. However, there's still some problems with the law as it still stands, because and what we're doing is changing in the bill, changing the timing of the third and fourth phases of the post-election audit so that there's only 1 and 2 weeks, respectively, for them to be completed rather than the 6 weeks. And the reason for that is that if we waited 6 weeks, our electors could not participate in the Electoral College because those folks need to meet on December 15th, and our law would allow them to conduct these recounts, et cetera, for additional time than that. And so we're bringing that back into a reasonable amount of time. And the and in the race for governor and U.S. Senate and U.S. representative and members of Congress, the winners would not be able to take office because the time would be there would still be this time for the recount. In addition, there is the clarification, even though people consider that fourth phase a recount, there is a clarification that it is indeed a true recount. Counties also are required to conduct their own recounts as part of phase four instead of having the Secretary of State conduct them, because it would not be possible for the Secretary of State's office to conduct itself, to conduct that many recounts within the time frame. This is, once again, an initiative from the Secretary of State's office, but it corrects what otherwise would be an irresponsible, I think, possibility or possible result. The A1 amendment was suggested by Mr. Watson. I have not had a chance to discuss it with him, so I would ask him why it is needed.
Mr. Watson.
Before I move it.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, it's just my suggestion to clarify the language a little bit. The first two amendments just make a little bit more precise the point at which the deadline, or from which the deadline runs. And the third one just makes a little bit more clear what the bill does. Instead of saying changing, it says what the change is.
So by taking out of completing the second review, it would read, the review must be completed and the results must be reported to the Secretary of State within 1 week after the second review was completed.
Right.
And then page 2 on line 2, you would take out, so that the sentence would read, the recount must be completed and the results reported to the appropriate canvassing board within 2 weeks after the post-election review official received notice from the Secretary of State. And then amending the title. Mr. Chairman, I would make that motion then.
Senator Rest moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A1 amendment is adopted. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 2553 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full committee.
Senator Rest moves that Senate File 2553 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the full committee. Is there any further discussion? Any questions? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on Senate File 2553? Seeing no one, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, I would note also that this the governor has no objection to this bill either.
Thank you, Senator Rest. We have two more bills on the agenda.
Never mind.
Senator Ross, are you taking the item 7 on the agenda here first?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Larson, Senate File 1297. You don't have any office amendments. Do you want to just move your own bill?
Senator Gerlach, I have the A3 amendment. I'd move the A3 amendment, and then we'll work off that if that's okay with the chair.
Okay, let me find it so I know Rick may have to pay attention. Okay, Senator Larson moves the A3 amendment, which is a delete everything. And Senator Larson, where this is going to be, if this is to pass, your motion is to move it to the full committee then.
That's correct.
Okay, Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill contains provisions from the automatic voter registration legislation that we spent considerable time on during the 2007 legislative session. This again is one of the bills that contains provisions that were negotiated over the summer and fall between the Secretary of State's office, the Governor's office, and many other interested parties, members of the House and the Senate. And so these are the provisions that remain, essentially taking out the driver's license portions that we recall from that bill, which were the most controversial, and keeping the language that allows us to update through postal mail our automatically update our voter registration lists. I am going to ask Beth Frazier to just give us a brief description of what remains in the bill, and appreciate your support.
Thank you, Senator Larson, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Frazier.
What is left in the bill are the first two sections of the bill, which, as Senator Larson said, relate to address updates based upon Postal Service data. The first section of the bill deals with situations where election officials have mailed something to a voter, perhaps their polling place has changed, and so it's a notice of that, and it comes back to them. Subdivision 2, which is kind of the first subdivision. Subdivision 2 deals with the situation in which the mail comes back and notes that there is a new address within Minnesota. So they have moved within Minnesota. This would allow the county auditor who received the mailing to change the voter status to inactive and to notify the auditor of the county to where they have moved. That auditor would update their address in the system and send them a postcard saying, as a service to you, we have updated your address. You are now registered to vote. Here's your new polling place. If you have any questions or concerns or for some reason don't want to be registered at your new address, please let us know. Otherwise, you're all taken care of. Subdivision 3 deals with a situation in which the returned mailing indicates that the person has moved outside of Minnesota. And in this case, the voter's record would be changed to inactive. We would send them a postcard, and it would say, if it appears that you are no longer eligible to vote in Minnesota, if that is not true, if you are maintaining your residence in Minnesota, please notify us within 21 days. Otherwise, we will be deleting your record. The third situation has to do with mail that comes back that doesn't have any indication of where the voter has gone, and that maintains current law that the voter's record could be changed to challenged. The second section of the bill has similar provisions for voters who move within the state or outside of Minnesota, but is based upon data collected by the Postal Service that the Secretary of State's office would obtain once a month and run against the statewide voter registration database. We would flag any records where there were changes of address, and then again, those voters would receive the appropriate postcard and their addresses would be updated in the system. The estimates from local election officials are that about 80% or so of same-day registrations are people who have moved from one location to another in Minnesota. And getting the data like this electronically and letting voters know ahead of time where they need to go, and so then they don't have to stand in the same-day registration line at the polling place, will save voters a lot of time and will also save local governments quite a bit of money. There is still a cost to this bill. We need to do programming to the statewide voter registration system, but as Senator Ress said, we can absorb that in the HAVA funds that were appropriated to us last year. So there's no need for additional funding to do this bill.
Okay. First of all, we do need to vote on the amendment. I missed that. So why don't we do that right now? Senator Larson did move the A3 amendment as a author's amendment. So all those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion carries, and so we do have that with us. And Senator Larson, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You said that this was a worked on over the interim, negotiated with some folks in the House, the governor's office and such. So are everybody's in agreement on this? The governor's office is okay with this, the other in the House? I'm just curious if everybody okay, and then who was involved in the group?
Thank you, Senator Gerlach. I'm going to let Ms. Frazier characterize those negotiations. She was more involved with that than I am myself, although it's my understanding that everyone to this point is in agreement that these are essentially the non-controversial provisions, or maybe not non-controversial, but the consensus provisions from the legislation from last year.
Mr. Chair, the primary conversations were between representatives from our office and representatives from the governor's office. We worked off of a list of provisions that were agreed to actually on the last night of the last session, but that did not wind up passing. So we started with what was kind of already a consensus agreement and worked from there. Schroeder with the governor's office is the former deputy secretary of state and is very familiar with these issues, was very thoughtful and had some great suggestions, so that there are technical changes to most of the provisions. But the primary discussions were between the governor's office and our office, and any objections that they had to any of these provisions have been addressed in this language.
Yeah, it's an arrest.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Schroeder also reviewed them with me on at least one occasion and indicated the things that were acceptable to them and that were not, and that's reflected in the amendment that's in front of you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there any other discussion?
Senator Gerlach, I'd move that Senate file 1297 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the full committee.
Senator Larson moves Senate File 1297 be recommended to pass and move to the full committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is adopted. Senator Larson, last bill on the agenda, Senate File 2574.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 2574 adds 1 week to the special election calendar for seats in the legislature and in Congress by requiring candidates to file 2 weeks prior to the primary rather than one. It also permits the Secretary of State to conduct a recount of a special primary or special election rather than having the recount done by the county canvassing boards. I would ask Ms. Frazier to give us some perspective about why the Secretary of State's office has brought this forward.
Ms. Frazier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Larson. This bill also came out of conversations that we had with the governor's office, as the governor's office consults with the Secretary of State's office in scheduling special elections, and there have been several over the past year during which we have kind of gone back and forth about how much time is needed. And with the greater use of electronic voting equipment, in particular the required use of the accessible voting equipment in all state and federal elections, there's more to do to prepare for elections. And as we mapped out the time, the amount of time that it takes to prepare for an election, including programming the equipment and printing ballots that can be read by the equipment, we realized that the current 1 week between the end of filings and the special primary gives just enough time to get those tasks done. But if there is any problem, if there's a typo on the ballot, if the machines don't work as they are supposed to, there's no margin for error. And so far we've been lucky, and that hasn't been a problem. But the local election officials in particular, I think, would rest much easier knowing that there is a little bit of margin for error. So this additional week provides for that. The other provision related to the recounts just has to do with wanting, when we have a special election, trying to balance needing to be sure that we have time to make sure that everything is accurate and wanting to have the process move as fast as possible so that any period of time in which constituents are unrepresented is as short as possible. And one period of time that we thought could be shortened has to do with recounts. Right now, a recount in a legislative or a congressional seat can't be called until the state canvassing board meets and looks at the county canvass results and says, yes, the race is close enough, there needs to be a recount. However, once the county canvass results are sent in, it would be possible for us to notice that the margin of victory was so small that there will need to be a recount and proceed with the recount, and perhaps even have the recount done by the time the state canvassing board would normally meet, or at least shortly thereafter. It should shorten the period of time by perhaps 3 days. So it's not a great we're not decreasing the amount of time by a lot, but it is one place where we thought we could shorten the period of time.
Are there any questions?
Senator Gerlach, I'd move that Senate File 2574 be recommended to pass and be referred to the full committee.
Senator Larson moves Senate File 2574 be recommended to pass and moved to the full committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
You may adjourn the committee.
Okay. I don't think we have any further business.
Senator Larson, do you have any announcements for the committee?
I do not, so okay. I don't think there's any further business before the committee.
With that, we are adjourned.
Thank you. You want me to sign that?
Peter, I think I would like that bill to make them be appointed by a lot.